This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Last week, it was reported that a resident of a drug rehabilitation centre in Kubang Pasu, Kedah had unfortunately died after succumbing to injuries that were allegedly caused by a warden when the resident was attempting to escape. Now, it was also reported that the warden had allegedly placed the victim in an isolation cell, had then stepped on the victim's neck and kicked his chest. Now, while the warden has since been arrested, this incident has raised concerns over the potential abuse or even what some might call torture that could happen in rehab centres, but also really the more pressing need for drug policy reform for us to better help drug users in Malaysia. And that's really what we want to discuss on today's show. So I have joining me today Dr. Ika Mohamad Saleh, a senior lecturer in the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine at University of Malaya, as well as Encik Haji Ramli Abdul Samad, the president of Pengasih. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm doing good. Thank you, Suan, for having us here.
It is my pleasure. You know, it is an important topic for us to keep the conversation going on about what usually happens to most of the drug users in Malaysia. You know, how often do they get the help that they need to overcome their addiction? I'll start with you, Encik Ramli.
Okay, first and foremost, the way we treated people who use drugs in Malaysia, unfortunately, is still way backward. We are still holding to the law that was, I think, drafted and implemented 1952. And the other law for treatment and rehab was 38 years ago, that's 1983. And we are still, I would say, implementing those outdated law. And before we talk about the law, we need to remember that the law was meant for the well-being of the people. And don't forget that the people that use drugs are our children, brothers, sisters, or even our neighbors. And the way they are being treated is, simply put it, like criminal. You know, if their urine are being caught having positive for the use of drug, they will be charged to court. And once they're charged into court, they have to undergo a trial. It depends if it is the first case or they are fortunate enough, the magistrate might just fine them or put them a rehab in community, what ADK call penjagaan di dalam community, or they are released. But not only that, the law, there is an overlapping there. And at the same time, when they report to ADK, they also have to report to the police station. So we have many of our, we call them residents, that undergo this process, and sometimes they do not report to the police. And after many years being in recovery, their record is still not being closed, and they will be arrested again. Recently, sad to say, our imam in Pengasih, he has been in recovery like 12 years, married, just recently got children, so he's on duty. So he went and report because one of our resident ran away. But unfortunately, upon giving his IC, he was detained instead because his record with police are not being closed. So there are many other instances like this, and hope something very soon need to be taken about this issue.
Ika, you know, your work crosses, you know, you've told me that your work crosses between sociology and medicine, right? But from your observations, you know, through your research, why is it problematic for us to treat drug users as criminals? because many people would, you know, think of that as very normal to think of that as, to think of them as criminals.
I think, you know, speaking of, you know, from the public health perspective, and also looking at sociology and how we perceive drug use, the perception that drug use is immoral and how that is reflected on one's upbringing is very common in our society. And I think there needs to be a great shift in viewing drug use as a criminal justice issue, but to look at it as a more public health issue. One is because we need to acknowledge that first there's a difference between drug use and drug dependence, and that all, not everyone who is using drug has a dependency problem. Mm-hmm. And second, we need to establish that substance use is a complex, multifactorial problem. It's a public health crisis rather than a criminal issue. And there are so many reasons on why people who use drugs, and we need to go back to the root causes on why people who use drugs. And, you know, understanding this would lead to better ways of treating drug use.
I would like to touch on the fundamentals of putting the wrong image. Because here in Malaysia, number one, we say it's war. Mm-hmm. And war means enemy. You either demolish your enemy or you put them into incarceration. And the labeling has been so bad, not like in other countries, that we forgot we automatically put stigma to it. You just imagine which country in the world that say it is a najis rada, which country that says this is what bangkai bernyawa, mm-hmm. sampah masyarakat, mm-hmm. zombie. All these are meant for scare tactic, which has proven it doesn't work.
Mm. And Encik Ramli, when we talk about rehabilitation centres, you know, what happens when a drug user is sent to a rehab centre? You know, perhaps you could share through Pengasih's experience, you know, give us some insights into what drug users go through when they step into a rehab centre.
Once a person came to our facilities, number one is that we will do their physiological assessment based on observation, and there are some tools, international standard tools that we use. And then since we do not have an in-house clinic, but we have what we call an observation room, so put them into observation. And in most cases nowadays, people that came in with methamphetamine issues normally have a few other comorbidities.
Mm-hmm.
Just as they will experience drug-induced psychosis, even some schizophrenia. They start to hear voices or seeing things or talking by themselves or even self-inflict pain. And even we have come across a lot of suicidal tendencies. So in most cases, I would say 99% we refer to a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And a psychiatrist will make an assessment, and if needed be medication to be diagnosed, we take care of the medication so that it's being taken on time. Then only if normally between 2 weeks to 1 month, once the resident is fit to be into the program, he or she is slowly introduced to the what we call in our program family or that small community. And the program that we run is based on self-help concept.
Mm-hmm.
Is called a therapeutic community. We adopted this modality from the New York modality way back in the 90s. However, we have improved a lot. using some of their tools into local contents. And of course, we incorporate also spiritual values accordingly. So from then on, that's why if you come to Mengasih, you see that our facilities has no fencing. Tak ada pagar, no security guard, no uniform personnel. Because here we practice, kita jaga kita.
And you don't treat them as criminals, right?
Yeah. And this has worked for many, many years.
Mm. Is that sort of the standard of care that drug users should receive at rehabilitation centers, you know? And is that what is happening in other rehabilitation centers across Malaysia, or are there gaps?
I want to start with community-based centers and how that would differ from mandatory drug rehab, as what we're seeing, being practiced in Malaysia. Community-based centers are more voluntary-based rather than mandatory, as ordered by court.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be based on human rights principles. It should be grounded on a person-centered care approach, in which we recognize that a person who uses drugs has unique multi-level needs that span from health needs to social needs, including having a job, having food on the table, and being allowed to enroll in a community-based treatment would also mean that people who use drugs can also have full-time jobs and can look after the families, can tend to children, and at the same time seeking help or treatment for their drug use. And on the other hand, oftentimes the concept of mandatory treatment is based on a punitive approach, one that forces people who use drugs to undergo treatment, even when there is no indication of drug dependence, and having them institutionalized, which prohibits them from working, which separates them from their own families, causing children to grow up in the absence of their parents. And it's causing massive interruptions to children development and further perpetuating cycles of poverty among these families. And one unintended consequence of forcing treatment onto people is what we are seeing in the case of Kubang Pasu, where we had that poor young man trying to escape from the center because he was there unwillingly, I suppose. And before that, we've got another death again in Kedah in his attempt running away from enforcement officers and was brutally assaulted by these group of officers. And these narratives of our, you know, drug users running away should be seen as a red flag in our mandatory systems, because people are running away. They are shunning away from help because of fear. And I think it's not right for people to live in fear. And it's absolutely not right that we're not providing the right support just because they fear the system, just because they fear us.
Mm. That's a different way to look at it, right? Because I think a lot of people might read news of people running away from drug rehab centers as I think a lot of people will automatically think that, oh, they're running away because they don't want to get better. But it's also important to also look into the situation, right, Ika, to see whether it's actually a red flag of whether something is wrong in that center.
Yes, true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, just to play a bit of a devil's advocate, right, you mentioned some of the problems with mandatory rehabilitation. Now, this was brought up earlier this year when Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin had said that, you know, the government was going to propose a new act where drug abusers and addicts would be rehabilitated instead of sent to jail. Now, could that be seen as a better alternative than sending, you know, drug users to jail, that we send them to mandatory rehab centers instead?
Yeah, of course, definitely. I've been in this service for the last more than 30 years, and I've seen many unfortunate circumstances. And like I said earlier, these are our brothers, they are our sisters, or they are even our children. They only make the wrong choice. Why do we have to punish them in such a way? So, and above all, it's not helping. It's not helping. You only toughen, you only harden them. into even hardcore criminals. And I've seen young boy going into the system, being abused, being molested or raped, and at the end of the sentence, even learn more criminal things than being good. So it's not that because the environment are not conducive. It is not meant for rehab. It meant for punishment. So it's like punishing a sick person. You have a sick person, you arrest him and put him in jail. So definitely he won't get better.
All right. Let's go for a quick break now. And then when we come back, you know, I want to touch more on the concerns over potential abuse that's happening in rehab centers. You know, some of these have emerged after the news that we saw last week. But I also then want to touch on what both of you think about drug policy reforms. What would you like to see in Malaysia? I'm speaking today to Dr. Ika Mohamed Saleh, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at University Malaya, as well as Haji Ramli Abdul Samad, President of Pengasih, and we're discussing the need to treat drug users better, to treat them as human beings and not as criminals. Don't go anywhere. Keep it here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Joining me on Zoom today are Dr. Ika Mohamed Saleh, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine, University Malaya, and Haji Ramli Abdul Samad, President of Pengasih. And we're discussing the need for drug policy reform in Malaysia and the role that drug rehabilitation centres can play, especially both Ika and Encik Ramli really emphasise the importance of community-based rehab centres, which are voluntary, which, you know, allow them to get treatment, get rehabilitation, but also to continue living their lives, you know, as normally as possible, to continue interacting with their families, to have jobs, you know, to support themselves. And I think that's really important. But, you know, what sparked today's topic was, unfortunately, that news, that horrific news we read last week of the injuries that a resident of a drug rehab centre in Kedah had experienced, allegedly at the hands of a warden at the centre. You know, what I want to know is, Encik Ramli, you know, is something like this an isolated incident, or are there significant concerns of abuse of residents in rehab centres?
This, to me, it's not something new. Even back, way back in the 90s, during the Pusat Serenti method of rehabilitation, where they have military conducting physical training and endurance in the rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a lot, most of these heroin addicts, in their early recovery, they are weak and fragile and undergoing a tough military regimen has also taken life. It is not isolated, like Dr. Ika just mentioned. Last 2 months, there was also another incident in Kedah. So it's an urgent matter that the law need to be reviewed. I don't know what's happening to the parliament. This has been brought many times, but again, to no avail.
Mm.
And I hope this law need to be amended as soon as possible.
Mm. Encik Ramli, is it simply a matter of laws, or is it also the training given to the staff at these rehab centres?
The fundamental is the law. It's just the basis. And number two, with the law, the staff need to be trained, of course. And other issue of having a minimum standard of a more human treatment, and of course, need to have a lot of medical elements, as it is not much in there.
Mm.
In fact, it is even called cold turkey. You just have to bear the pain until it went off.
I completely agree with what Tuan Haji Ramdi has mentioned just now, that the criminal justice system is not the answer to the drug use issues in Malaysia. But one great challenge that we are facing is the increase of ATS use, like crystal meth, ice, and the absence of pharmacotherapy treatment for ATS use, unlike opioid use, where we treat opioid users with methadone treatment. And the other challenge is inadequate manpower to identify those with drug dependence, which altogether makes it reasonable to direct funding and efforts to train community health workers, the NGOs, the governmental agencies that work directly with people who use drugs to not only provide psychosocial services to treat people with ATS use, but also to actively screen for dependence. And a greater challenge, especially with ATS use, amphetamine-type stimulant, is the legal challenges in which there are more people charged under the Section 15(1) of the Dangerous Act, in which people who use drugs is detained and convicted, as opposed to Section 3(1) of the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation, and its subsequent Section 6(1), which is considered a court-mandated treatment order. For example, in 2015 alone, 84,000 people who use drugs were charged under the Dangerous Act, compared to 10,000 charged under 6(1), which is the treatment and rehabilitation. And it's even problematic for ATS users because they often do not have clear symptoms indicative of physiological drug dependence, no physical withdrawal signs, and therefore medical officers are reluctant to legally certify ATS dependence in people who use ATS as defined by the Section 2(1) of the Drug Dependent Treatment and Rehab Act. And when a person is convicted of drug use or registered as a drug dependent, they will be registered as a criminal, and they will wear this label, this criminal label, for the rest of their lives, and it's making life so much harder for them.
It could lead to discrimination, such as when they're looking for jobs, right?
Yes, that's true. Especially when they're trying to look for jobs, they can't apply for jobs, and in certain cases, they can't even get food on the table because there is so much, you know, high levels of poverty that are being attached to them because of this criminal record.
Ika, do you think that we as a society, or at least parts of our society, still have that tendency to dehumanize drug users, you know, to see and treat them as criminals, as undeserving of help, and thus, you know, cases of abuse of drug users aren't taken seriously, or they, you know, sort of gain the limelight for a while and then people forget about them, and then we also don't take seriously the need to have better policies to tackle drug use instead of jail sentences? You know, do you think that's a perception that we need to tackle?
Yeah, definitely. I still think that as a society, a majority part of the society still have that tendency, not just viewing, you know, not just treating drug users less than human, but also how they view people who use drugs themselves. And I think because of these perceptions that are still very common in our society, we need to form public opinion, especially what it means to be a person who uses drugs and the reasons why people who use drugs are multifactorial, as I mentioned before. And there is a difference between, you know, people who use drugs and people who are becoming dependent on drugs. And I believe this is the message that we can, you know, transfer to the society and educate them on how we should be perceiving drug use, not really as an, you know, as an individual level behavior, but as, it's actually more than individual level kind of factor that we should be looking at. It's more than how we should be behaving in the society, whether or not we should be using drugs or, you know, things like that. These are the same narratives that we see every day in everyday's topic or on TV, but looking at beyond that individual level factor.
Ajit Ramli, do you think that it will be challenging to push that need for community rehab centres because people have been so used to, you know, jail sentences, or perhaps, you know, the idea of a rehab centre being almost like a prison?
Even this goes to our policymakers. The issues here is that not many people understand why a person become drug addict and why a person become powerless over his or her addiction. You see, the issue that the community or the public need to understand is that no one are born to be an addict, and no single young person that I've met that have an ambition or a goal that they want to be a drug addict. None. I've never met any. There are many circumstances that lead to this, which also include sometimes the parent not being aware that they are toxic to the children themselves. They can be a pushing factor. And a person can be dependent on two things. One is to seek pleasure, to feel good. And another one is quite common, to ease off pain. In most instances, emotional pain, insecurity, fear, worry, stress, and many other things. Because the person take it, immediately it will go off. And repeated use will only result on the brain reward center have reference to these substances. So, for instance, if a person take this to boost creativity or energy whenever he want to do a presentation, the next time he want to do a presentation, the brain automatically say, wow, take that and then I have a good presentation. This happened to many students, especially when they take their final exam, when they are doing assignments. And it's not only that, it's also emotional dependence, which means not using, they will feel down. They will undergo a syndrome called anhedonia. Anhedonia is where they can't feel joy, they can't feel pain, they can't feel anything. This part of the withdrawal cycle. And putting this sort of people that is undergoing this chronic disease into incarceration or putting them into jail, it's not going to help. It's not going to help at all. So I've seen too many people from young and even hardened as they age, and their addiction even become worse and worse. And sadly to say, nowadays a lot has suffered from mental illness.
Ika, what sort of reforms when it comes to drug policy would you like to see, you know, when it comes to tackling drug abuse and to provide better avenues of help and treatment for drug users?
So there have been, you know, discussions going on the direction of drug policies in the country that are in line with what the international community has been pushing for, especially the need to decriminalize drug use and drug possession for personal use. And I want to be very clear that there is a difference between decriminalization and also legalization, in which that for decriminalization, instead of going through the criminal justice system, where there is lack of proper support to treat people who use drugs, they should instead be diverted to other forms of support, looking at how they can get community-based treatment that is voluntary, and also other supports in terms of employment, family-based counseling, other types of counseling. And this is something that we should be looking at rather than placing people who use drugs in these criminal justice settings.
Ajit Ramli, why has it been so difficult to change, you know, to push for these laws? Because like you mentioned earlier, right, even when we talk about cases of abuse in rehab centres, it's not something new. You've heard of cases before, even, you know, going back years. So why do you think, you know, it's been so difficult for reforms to be introduced? What do you think needs to change?
I think first and foremost is back to political will, because this matter can be only changed through the amendment of the law. Mm-hmm. And that has to go through parliaments, which means it has to go through the politicians. Again, here, what we as public can do is to create more awareness about this issue. And here again, also another thing is that most people are like the not me syndrome, you know. This won't happen to me, to my family, not in our neighborhood. But addiction knows no boundary. I've seen people that came from rich family, poor family, from urban area. It has no boundaries. And I think we need to have a more realistic approach. And first and foremost also, a service provider need to be trained. The capacity need to be built up, to be upscaled. Mm-hmm. So it's just not a matter of counseling alone. Mm-hmm. They need to also upgrade and upscale their knowledge on many other aspects for a person to get into recovery. Mm.
It's really what we've been talking about this whole session, right? It's first you change the laws, but then also, you know, make sure that we have the rehab centers. You need to train the healthcare professionals. You need to create a society that's more accepting. It's really like a whole of government, whole of society approach. And, you know, Encik Ramli has shared what he would like to see from the people, right? People need to be more aware, be more understanding of what addiction is. What about from you, Ika? What would you have a message to the listeners out there about, you know, how we perceive and treat drug users?
I think it goes back to the value of human rights, where we treat them as a human first and foremost. Right. And it's very sad to see that, you know, the case in Kubang Pasu happened just quite recently. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to prevent that from happening, we need to have a collective voice, a better understanding on what drug use is. And if it's not happening to your family members, it's not happening to your close ones, we would turn a blind eye on these issues. And it's about time we take a different perspective on drug use. And it's very important that drug treatment should be made voluntary, and we want people to not living in fear and running away as what we see in most cases, and that they should be willing to come forward to us and saying that they need treatment. But until the issues of, you know, stigma and also discriminating drug users is not being addressed appropriately, I think they were still living in fear, still afraid to come out to seek help. And together we can make a huge difference.
Mm. All right. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having this conversation with us.
Thank you so much to BFM.
It's our pleasure. I've been speaking to Dr. Ika Mohamad Saleh, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine at University Malaya, and Haji Ramli Abdul Samad, the President of Pengasih, and we're talking about the need to do better when it comes to tackling drug use and abuse in Malaysia, as well as the need to improve rehabilitation centres, you know, to push for more community-based rehabilitation centres in our bid for drug policy reform. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.